Prayer's coming down. I want to ask for all the children to come for We Church and those who are helping to help with We Church. We will not have children's church today, but for the children and the workers, if you would, if you begin to come now, we don't have a time to pray with you. Come here. Can I pray with you? Come here, let's pray. Come here. Come here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for each of these precious children and the families that are represented. I pray now, Lord, as they go back to study about you, Lord, to learn more about who you are, Lord, that you begin to go ahead and prepare to plant seeds in their hearts and their lives, Lord, preparing them for that time, Lord, that you'll draw them to yourself and to save them. Lord, I pray for all of those who will be teaching and those who will be helping there. Lord, that it'll be a time just to express the love of Christ, Lord, as they love on them and teach them about you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. As we continue in our time of prayer this morning, I want to ask that you pray for the ladies who made decisions yesterday there at the prison. And if you would, just to continue to remember them. And it's a blessing to see lives change each and every month, it seems like, when the team goes. And we pray for them and pray the Lord just continue to bless them. I also want to thank you for praying for Miss Margaret Barnett. Miss Margaret got a good report this week as she had an initial scan. She continues to take chemo and radiation. If you would continue to pray for her, she tries to receive this treatment. It's reducing the tumor, and so we pray for that. Also, want to ask for prayer for Joyce Ann Crane, who will be having some surgery tomorrow. And then Tim Wells is with us today, him and Tina. And we've been praying for you, Tim, and we want to continue to pray for you. They have an appointment rescheduled for April 4th to have his kidney transplant. And, brother, we're just praying right alongside you guys that the Lord's going to bless and this is going to be the perfect one and everything's going to be on go and that the Lord will see you can get stronger. And we just thank for you being here with us today. Also want to pray for Wasatch Cowboy Church and for the mission team that will be going there in July. Just pray for all the needs that need to be met there, everything to take place that needs to happen for us to be prepared spiritually, emotionally, and physically as well to go and to try to come alongside a sister church there in Utah to help them as they are going through building a building. It's a church plant. It's a lot of new things happening for them. It's a good time to be able to help come alongside as not those who know everything, but to try to help train some of those on how to share their testimony, how to share their faith, how to engage people as they come to visit the church, all those things that are new to them as they've come, many have come out of the cult of Mormonism and now are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to lift that up in prayer this morning and pray for others I know that are sick, but also just continue to pray for churches in our area that are going through times of great difficulty and this transition is taking place there. We just pray for the Lord's will to be done and for him to continue to be glorified in these places that are lighthouses for him around the community as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you today and I thank you, Lord, for this time we have to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to come together and worship you. And Lord, I pray for each one that's here, Lord, that we have began to prepare our hearts to examine ourselves and our lives, Lord, before we even came today. Lord, desiring to come to meet with you and to worship you in spirit and truth. And God, I pray, Lord, that if there's one here today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, through the preaching and teaching of your word, which we know does not return void, Lord, we pray, God, that they would hear your word, Lord, that you draw them to yourself and they would receive the gift of salvation and that they would have changed lives, Lord, that they would be saved. And Lord, I pray for brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that have made a commitment to you, but Lord, may still be infants in Christ, Lord, because they've not grown in that relationship. And Lord, especially for those today that may not have fully surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, God, I pray for that transformation to take place today as they hear your word and hear the fact that we are to live changed and different lives, Lord, as the Apostle Paul lays out before us today. Lord, I pray for those that we've mentioned in our prayer list. Lord, I pray for Tim. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they're able to be with us today. Lord, and just pray for him and Tina. Lord, you just continue to keep him healthy, Lord, in preparation for the surgery. Pray for the donor, for the same, Lord, and for the doctors and everything to be cleared and to be a go.
We pray for Joyce Anna. She has surgery tomorrow as well. Lord, you'd be with the doctors and guide their hand, be with her. I pray, Lord, for Miss Margaret, thanking you, Lord, for the blessing of answered prayer, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in such a unique and special way, Lord, as the giver of all good gifts, Lord. You're giving her good news, Lord, that the tumor is shrinking. And God, we just thank you and just praise you. And Lord, just pray now, rejoicing with those who've recommitted their lives to you yesterday. And Lord, what you're going to do in and through them, Lord, and in and through our lives today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 17 today. I love preaching through books of the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because when we do that, it just seems like the Lord speaks into our heart in a more clear way to convict us of sin, but also to challenge us in our walk with Him. As we come to our time of study today, the Apostle Paul has been speaking about the fact that we are unified in Christ, and he has been sharing some general principles about how we are diverse, but yet we are brought together in unity in Christ alone. And he is the head of the church. He is the one who gives us that unity as we surrender to him and to the lordship of Christ, as we commit our lives to him. But you know, the thing I love about Paul is in many occasions when you read the letters of Paul is that as he's speaking to us, he doesn't just give us doctrinal teaching, but Paul is good to go in and begin with application also. And he gets very specific here in this particular area of Scripture as he begins to talk about a changed life. And when someone gives their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and they become a follower of Christ, immediately there should begin to be a process of transformation, a change that should take place from the person they were, as we refer to the old man or the old self, to the new person or the new self, that if the one is created as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so as Paul comes to this point of our text, he's going to begin to challenge a little bit to begin with in the first few verses here of that there has to be a difference. And you read, as he wrote in the book of Galatians, about the fruits of the Spirit and the fact that we should exemplify certain things that exemplify Christ's likeness in our lives, that shows that we are a different person than we were before we met Christ and gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to save us and be our Lord and Savior. And so as we begin today, we're going to begin in verse 17 of chapter 4. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Now, as Paul begins here, I've shared with you last week, as we're in the book of Ephesians, especially as we have entered into chapter 4, you hear a lot more about Paul referring to a walk. And as he's talking about this walk here, he's really talking about our life and our commitment and our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, as he begins, is beginning to challenge to say that he's giving these things as a testimony to the Lord. And I think what, as he says too, therefore, it means we need to go back and look back to what he was just talking about as we were closing in our study last week. And I want you to look particularly at verse 15, because Paul has told us that the Lord equips the saints for the work of ministry and for the purpose of building up the body, and that we're come to unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As he's laying those things out, he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But here's the point. Paul says, but speaking the truth in love, in verse 15, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And that's what he's referring back to here in verse 17. As we look at this, as he begins this section of Scripture, verses 17 through 19, as he's saying that everything is bound up in Christ, but as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to speak the truth in love that we may grow up in all things into him, meaning Christ. You know, we live in a time where people have all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of understanding. They have accessibility to that very much at their fingertips with the internet, with phones and computers. And so there's a lot of things, even we don't understand or know it, we can Google or we can try to find information on that. But what Paul's beginning to say here is this, is that you have to know Christ and the things of Christ. And he's talking about that it begins with a change of mind. And when you start thinking about someone who turns from the sin and the world and they turn to Christ, it begins, as we read there in Romans chapter 12, that there has to be a renewing of the mind. There has to be a new way of thinking. There has to be a new way of looking at your life and at the world. And it begins as the Lord draws you and is drawing you to himself and revealing himself to you, and you see the righteousness of God and the holiness of God, and you see how we fall short. And you see our sin exposed before him as a holy and a righteous God. And you begin to acknowledge, first of all, your need for him and your need for that forgiveness that only he can give of your sins. And you ask him to save you and to forgive you. But let me just say there that you, at that point, a person has received the gift of salvation, but that's not where it ends. As we were there with the deacons yesterday with Francois Carr and the deacon training, that's one of the things that he was bringing out over and over again, is so many people just stop right there to say, I'm saved and I've been baptized and I've done the things I need to do. But let me just say, that is the beginning of a relationship with Christ. That is a starting point in a journey and a walk with Christ, as Paul is talking about here in that idea of walking and living our lives with Christ. And so Paul goes on to say that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind. You know, he's writing to the Ephesians from Rome. He's in prison. This is one of the prison epistles, but Paul had spent 2.5 years there teaching at Ephesus. And as Paul was there, I can just tell you that it's right there on the sea of the, and there was actually a port that came right up to Ephesus there to silt it in now. But as he was teaching, it was a great port city, and one of the seven wonders of the world with the temple of Artemis there, who was a false god, was there. And these people had all kinds of gods. If you read in the book of Acts about the silversmiths who revolted because Paul and their preaching was turning people away from this cult and turning them to Christ. And so Paul knows the environment well. And he's speaking to them saying, listen, you can't live like you lived before. You can't talk in the way that you talk. You can't walk in the way that you walk. You've got to be changed. You've got to identify that by the way that you walk and the way that you talk, that the people have to see you're a different person. In other words, Paul's saying that there's a time of separation. And folks, I want to tell you today, the problem we have a lot of times with people that stay in that sense of being a babe in Christ and I'm finding my salvation and the fact I've been baptized and I'm a believer and they never grow is they're okay to continue to want to keep one foot in the world and lean towards the world instead of stepping both feet over towards Christ and following Christ. And so that's what Paul's beginning to challenge us here today about, as he's bringing that admonition to us, is that we need to turn our back on the things of the world and we need to turn towards Christ and we need to follow him and what he says we need to do it. And so he tells us it begins with a change of mind. You know, as you think about that, I think about how Peter said, you know, Paul said, I don't do the things that I used to do or I want to do, but I do the things that God wants me to do. And so as he is speaking here, he says it begins with that changing of the mind, because if we continue to walk in the ways of the world, it's futile. And we've been studying in Sunday school in Ecclesiastes, and Solomon said many of the same things. All the things of the world, if you had everything, it's all in vanity when it comes down to it. But as he's describing here, he says that their understanding has been darkened and they've been alienated from the life of God. He's referred to those who are the Ephesians that are not followers of Christ, and he's referring to those that worship these pagan false gods. And he's saying, listen, Satan has blinded them. Their minds have been clouded and darkened, and they don't understand. And because of their ignorance is in them, and because of the blindness of their heart is their past feeling. And what he's talking about really is those that have basically said, listen, I'm not interested in what God says. I'm not interested in what you have to say about God. I have my world that I live in. I want to do things my way. I want to live my life. And that's what I'm going to do. and they're not wanting to turn from that. Their hearts are hardened. And as he's talking about that, those hearts being hardened here, he's talking to it using a word that really means to be petrified. And what many of you from me talking about a petrified wood that's hardened, and it's not much you can do with it. It's not good for anything. But also you can be talking about a bone, and it's broken, and around that has petrified so hard that it's harder than the bone. And sometimes it actually has to be cut out because it makes the bone useless. You would think it would make it better to make it stronger, but it's actually not pliable enough to be able to be used properly. And so he's talking about that hardening of the heart, though, that Satan has hardened their heart. And folks, you've met people like that, that no matter what you're talking to them about, as you begin to bring up anything of Christ, they'll talk to you about sports, they'll talk to you about all other walks of life, but yet when you begin to talk to them about the things of God, they don't want anything to do with it, and they make that very clear. They shut you off. They say, if this is what you want to talk about, I'm not interested, or they walk away, they find an excuse, they've got to leave, and their hearts are hardened. And so Paul says, you shouldn't live in this way. But you should live in a way that's changed, in a way that identifies with Christ. He says that they have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You know, when he's talking about that, I think about the world that we live in, and the way that there was a time when someone, if they knew they were in the presence of someone who was a follower of God, would maybe even change their conversation in the fact that they wouldn't say certain things around them. They wouldn't tell these off-color jokes. They wouldn't use these words that they use, these coarse words. But now we live in a time when they can know very clearly you're a pastor, or you're involved in ministry, you're a follower of Christ, you know, in any of those things, and yet they just go on to say anything and do anything in any way they want to, and they don't care what you think. They don't care if you like it or don't like it. They're just rude in that sense of, I'm going to be who I am. You know what? They want us to be tolerant of the things that they want to say and do, but yet they don't want to be tolerant to listen to the fact of why we're different. And let me just say this, as we're sharing about what makes us a follower of Christ too and what makes us different, it's not a matter of we should speak to them in a way that's condescending or condemning, but we should speak the truth in love, but it's by the grace of God, or else we would be the same. And with that, it's by God's grace that we've been saved. And so Paul is beginning to challenge us, first of all, as he's given us a general teaching and principle about walking with God in unity and yet diversity. And now he's saying there's some specific things I'm going to talk to you about. One, your life has to change. And as he begins to go on too, he's going to also give an argument for this, as he says in verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as a truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Now, as Paul is speaking here, he says, listen, if you have learned of the things of Christ, you will be different. You can't hear and understand and begin to apply the teaching of God's word to your life and remain the same. You will be changed. And if you listen to the word of God and the Spirit of God in convicting you of your sin, is that at that point you can't continue to give yourself over to lewdness and the work of uncleanness and greediness. And he goes on to say, too, that if you have heard him, have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus. Now, we live in a time where people will say there is no real relative truth, except that what works for you is true for you. What works for me is true for me. And if you believe that, and that's fine for you, but if I don't believe that, that's okay for me if I believe something else. Folks, I want to tell you something. The only real truth is that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings, that he is Almighty God. There is no opportunity for salvation apart from repenting of your sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can believe what you want, but you'll be believing wrong. And you can be sincere in your belief, but you're sincerely wrong. Now, I know that ain't real tolerant, but it's the truth. And I say that with love, because I don't want to see anyone go to hell. And because the Lord makes it clear that he's patient, long-suffering, not desiring that anyone should perish. And he has provided the way. He loved us enough that he sent his son while we were enemies of his, and he sent him to die for us for our sin. And you know, when you think about that kind of love, folks, it ought to make you sit back and think, if you've never given your life to Christ, or if you have, and you're satisfied, well, okay, I'm going to receive that gift of salvation, and I'm going to follow through that first step of obedience and baptism, but beyond that, I'm not going to go any further because I still want to hang on to certain things in my life, to sit there and think about what kind of love does it take for one to give his life for those who are enemies of his, not for his best friend, not for his family member, not for someone that he loved, but for his enemies, because he loved us first. And he is to be our first love, and we need to commit our lives to him and live each and every day in a way that glorifies him. He says, if indeed you've heard these things, that as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You know, he's just talking about putting off the old man. What he's talking about is that old, fleshly, sinful nature. Now, as we got saved and we gave our lives to the Lord, we still have that sin nature in us that we were born with through Adam and Eve's sin. But also, we received the Spirit of God to come and dwell within us. And so each and every day and everything that we do and everything that we say, we have decisions that have to be made. Am I going to obey God? Am I going to glorify God? Am I going to live for God? Am I going to point others to God? Or am I going to live for self and give in to the things that I want to do and not do the things I don't want to do? You know, we're all guilty of that. And, and just being transparent, there are times in our lives where things are going on and, you know, you have an opportunity to do something. It's like, I just don't want to do that. I'm tired, or I don't feel like doing it. I don't like that. And so in the flesh, we can make those decisions and say, I don't want to do it. But let me just say this. That's one thing when you're talking about from a worldly perspective of whether you go and participate in something or not. But when the Lord says go and you say no, that's called sin. And when we tell God no, what we're telling God is, I'm the Lord of my life and I don't want to obey you. And what you're doing is you're setting God aside to say, you're not Lord of all, you're Lord of some. And some of me, but I'm going to control this area of my life with this pet sin that I have, or this lust that I have for this thing of the world. You know, when you talk about the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and all these things, whatever it may be that you decide, listen, Lord, I'll follow you to this point, but I'll take it from here. That's when we begin to fall into sin. And Paul is reminding us here is that we need to listen to the Word of God. We need to follow the Spirit and His leading and teaching us and convicting us. This is what God would have us to do. And with that, we're not to say no to Him in that way when He tells us to do something. But we need to put off the old man. And as we do that, the conduct of the former way. You know, I tell folks all the time, it's like you hear these conversations, well, is it okay for a Christian to drink? Is it okay for a Christian to do this? Why can't you do this? And why can't you do that? Let me just say this. We have liberty in Christ that we're told that. But what a lot of people in this country need to understand too is just because you have liberty doesn't mean that you should do some things or that you should want to do some things. That again, decisions have to be made. And part of that is, in my previous life, there was a time when I drank. And when I drank, I couldn't control what I drank, and I became a drunkard. And according to Scripture, that makes it very clear that I'm in violation of breaking God's commandments. And so with that, I don't choose to drink anymore, and I made that decision a long, long time ago. And with that, I know that if I did, and I've told people, if I went right down here to Willis's and bought a six-pack of beer, and I drank one beer a month for 6 months, the people standing outside that store and in that store wouldn't know what I did. But all they'd say was, that preacher's a hypocrite, and that church is a joke, and it would harm the witness of Christ. It would be a stumbling block to those who need to hear the gospel. And so with that said, Paul says, put off the old character, put off that old man, put off that old nature, turn from the way that you lived before and turn and live as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, let me just give you a little example and make it a little bit clear. Over in John chapter 11, where we see there where Lazarus had died and Jesus went to the tomb, and you know, his sister even said, listen, Jesus, he's been there 4 days. He's going to stink, man. You don't want to roll that stone away. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he came forth, he said, now loose him with the grave clothes. He's not a dead man anymore. He's alive. You know, when you think about that, as a sinner separated from God, you're dead and your trespasses of sin, and you're in grave clothes in a sense because you're wrapped in that old man, that old fleshly nature. But at the moment that you're saved, you've been created as a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've been given the gift of salvation. The Holy Spirit's come to dwell within you. And with that, you need to put off them grave clothes of the deadness of being spiritually dead and put on some new clothes that God's given you to be clothed in his righteousness. And with that, you need to live a life of righteousness and holiness that points people to Christ, but also it gives fruits of the fact that you are a follower of Christ and identifies you as a person who is a follower of Christ. And so our conduct needs to change, and the way that we think needs to change. Because remember, look at verse 23. For the second time, he says, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, when you were living a carnal life as a sinner apart from God, your mind was darkened and clouded, as it said earlier. Satan has blinded you, and you don't think clearly. You don't think of the things of God. You think of yourself primarily. But yet now, as a new creation, the Spirit that's come to dwell within you is also in the process of transforming your mind and your thinking. Is that now you begin to think about God. Now you begin to think about others that are your brothers and sisters in Christ and place them before yourself. And now you begin to think about those who are lost and the fact that you've been commanded to go and share with them the truth of the message of the gospel. And you should have a burden for them to point them to Christ, that they too might know Christ and they too might be saved. You know, when you think about the gift that you've been given and the life that you've been given with that eternal life and the victory here in this life, that even though we might die physically, that we're going to be with the Lord and that we're going to live for eternity. So we have no reason to fear death, as he talks about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we don't have to mourn as those who have no hope, because we have hope in Christ Jesus and we're going to be with him forevermore. We have eternal life. And so Paul's saying our mind has to be renewed, and the Spirit is at work in changing our mind and our thinking as we focus upon the things of God, his word and his Spirit, and we follow the things that he would have us to do in application of our lives, living our lives in the kingdom of God and living before those who are lost here, pointing them to Christ. Folks, the problem with the church today is if people saw us outside of this building, other than the fact that we say we're members of Ebenezer Welcome, is that most of them would not recognize some of us as men and women of God, because we wouldn't be any different than the ones that we're hanging around with out there. There wouldn't be anything to indicate at all the fruits of the Spirit. But yet Paul says there's more to this. We need to be walking with God. We need to be growing in that relationship. It should be an abundance of the fruits flowing out of us and identifying the fact that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we love people and have a great concern for their well-being. But he goes on to say also, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness. I want to say, I don't know about you, but I remember the day that I was saved. As I've shared with some of you before, we were in revival. And from that Sunday night, the Lord was calling me, and I was wrestling, and I was kind of still wanting to hold on to that lordship of my life and say, Lord, I know you're real, and I want to give my life to you. But, you know, there's just certain things in my life I just don't want to give up. And I wrestled with him until Wednesday, and then I thought, okay, well, I'll go down on Sunday morning, and I'll just make this plain to everybody in the church on Sunday morning. But the pastor had spoken to the evangelist that was preaching that night, and he said he was available. He said, we're going to be back here tomorrow night. It was unplanned. And I don't even remember walking down the aisle. I just remember saying, Lord, I can't wrestle with you anymore. I can't fight this anymore. I know you're God. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you're holy and you're righteous, and I'm not. And there's no way I can ever be that way apart from faith in you. And the only holiness, the only righteousness I have is found in Christ Jesus. And it's the same for all of us. And Paul's saying that it's that holiness and that righteousness that we need to put on. And so when we put on those new clothes and that we're that new person, that new creation in Christ Jesus, our lives change. And how do we begin to change? He gives us some application here in beginning in verse 25. He says, therefore, based on what he's just shared with us, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification or building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, as I read this scripture, the first thing that he says is put away lying. Now, Paul's going to begin to get very specific here. And I want to tell you that if there's one thing that hurts brothers and sisters in Christ within the church is when someone lies about them or lies to them. Or if we lie about them or lie to them individually. Because all trust is broken. And you know, if you're going to be in unity, and you're going to be in that relationship that's found in Christ, he's all truth. He's told us over and again, speak the truth in love. The problem is we think so often is, well, if I just kind of sugarcoat this, if I just kind of tell a little white lie, and, you know, it'll be softer for them, it'll be easier for them to deal with because I don't want to hurt their feelings, I don't want to hurt them or anything. Let me just say this, folks, is you might as well just go in and draw back and hit them. Because as soon as they find out that you lied to them, you've offended them the same as if you hit them. The thing is, we speak the truth in love. And he says, do that to your neighbor. You notice he didn't say do this just to your brothers. That should be implied. But what he's really should be implying here too is in everything we do, speak the truth, don't lie. And the biggest thing that causes problems within the church is a lie that goes out about someone and what they said or did or didn't do. And it causes problems to go from a lie to move further as to what he's referring to here is in just a moment as it goes over into the bitterness and the wrath and the anger. But let me just say right here too, and he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and nor to give place to the devil. Now, we tend to have no problem getting angry, especially as Southerners. We got some that are not Southerners here, and I've seen this, it's a universal thing. Is, you know, in our fleshly nature, when someone offends us or hurts us verbally or physically, is we have no problem in getting angry. And you know what? Sometimes as believers, we also have no problem in our mind of wanting to have a righteous anger, but it's sometimes more of a justified anger than it is a righteous anger. As we can rationalize and try to justify and come up with some reason why what we said or what we did was the right thing to do and the way we did it was right. When we really know in our heart of hearts as we're being confronted about it, that maybe the way we said it or maybe the way that we did it was not right. You know, even when people have to be confronted, a lot of times is we tend to have a sense of the first time we see them, we're going to confront them. Well, let me just say this, is if it's a matter of private sin, it needs to be dealt with privately. If it's a matter of public sin, you deal with it publicly. But the scripture also makes it clear, too, that when you've been wronged in Matthew 18, is that first of all, you go to your brother yourself, and if they won't hear, then you take a brother with you. Then you go publicly with that to the congregation. So the problem we have a lot of times is when there's a problem, we get angry, rather than deal with it in a manner of righteousness and not sinning, is that we try to deal with it immediately, we try to deal with it publicly, and we try to deal with it in the wrong way. Folks, I want to say, he says that we're to be slow to anger. Notice what he says too here is do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, with that said, there's a time when in the heat of your anger that you may need to separate for a short period of time to cool down and let the Lord and the Spirit work in your life and let others speak in your life that you then come back and respond in the way you should. I'll give you a case in point. I've shared with you years ago that we were there in Turkey and we were having Bible studies and we were sitting around after we had the first lesson. Let me just say, when you're there where they're hungry for the word and there's not available to have the word there in their hands all the time and there's a danger of getting killed because of it, and a 45-minute Bible study is nothing. It's usually hours long, and they're still crying for more and wanting more. But we had taken a brief break, and just in a matter of joking, one of the ladies was writing with her left hand, and I said, yeah, I said, I've heard before, just teasingly, that those are left-handed, it's like the sons of Satan. And we were just kidding, it was just a joke. And one of the others said something real smart to her, too, and then they got upset with one another and started complaining to one another, and one of them got up and left. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the end of Bible study. But it was a time to take that teaching and apply it. And what happened was we prayed with them. We went to them after they had some time to cool off later that afternoon. And we went to her and we began to explain the scripture. We'd actually been going over it previously. And Satan had a place there just because I popped my big mouth off kidding and said, you know, well, left-handers are maybe sons of Satan. Just kidding. But, you know, with that, it was a teaching moment. And one said to the other, we've been learning and studying God's word, but if we don't apply God's word, then what kind of Christians are we? This is brand new Christians in Christ, folks, coming from a Muslim background. And she said, my sister, I want to forgive you that you offended me, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And in just a little while, we had a meal together as they were hugging and crying and everything and celebrating together. And that's what is applying God's word. And so as we're studying too, he's going through to say that we don't give place to the devil, but also there has to be a change too. As those that stole, they begin to work, and they also not only begin to work, but then they also begin to help those who are in need. And then the other thing is he talks about let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification or building up, and it may impart grace to the hearers. You know, there has to be a change in our language and our conversation too. And I know for some you say, well, that's hard, but let me just say this. If you surrender to the Lordship of Christ, it's not hard. If you still want to hold on to be Lord of your life in some areas of your life, it's going to be very hard. But if you're going to be a follower of God and you're going to walk with God and you're going to grow in that relationship, you've got to first of all surrender to the Lordship of Christ, and it'll be easy to begin to change in the way you talk and the way you converse if you have a problem with those things. And it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, or actual fighting and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, let me just say this. He's speaking to the church here. He's not speaking to unbelievers. And some of you think, well, surely they don't have fighting and arguing and complaining within the church. Oh, yes, it does. It happens. And it's not pretty when it happens. It's not honoring to God when it happens. It's when people get in the flesh when it happens, and they're going back to that old man, that old nature, rather than living that new man and that new nature. And so Paul's giving a good warning here of application is that our lives have to change, beginning with our thinking, beginning with our talking, and beginning with our actions. And when you think about that, that's talking about our whole life. Every part of our life has to change. But it begins with the fact of surrendering yourself to the Lord, that others may hear the grace of the good news of the gospel, but not only hear, but begin to see that in your life as well. You know, as we were there with Francois yesterday, he asked a lot of good questions as we were going through that study. But one thing that caught my attention was this. I want you to think about this. Everybody sitting here today that hears my voice has a date of birth, a day that you celebrate for your physical birthday. Those of you that are here today that are followers of Christ have a spiritual birthday. And should the Lord tarry, every one of us sitting here today will also have a day of death, physical death, that we're going to die. But the question I want to ask you today, though, is do you have a day of death spiritually And what I'm talking to you about there is not just salvation. Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. But Lord, I know you're Lord of lords and King of kings. And not only do I give you my life for salvation, but you have all of me. Is that I'm going to die to self and I'm going to live for you. And talking about true lordship is that you're fully surrendered to whatever it is that God wants you to do and wherever he wants you to go. You know, we sing about that all the time. And I wonder how often when we're singing it is, do you really mean it or you just sing along because everybody else is singing? And I'm talking about individually here. Think about that. Is there a point in your life and you say, I know at this time in my life, I died to myself and my sin and that old man, and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ completely. Not just, Lord, save me from hell, but Lord, save me and then use me in whatever way you want to use me, that you'll be glorified through me. Think about that as we have our time of invitation here in just a second. I want to ask David to go ahead and come. I want to ask you just to stand and close your eyes as we close. I want to pray that the Lord will speak into our hearts today. And as he speaks to us, I know this is old hard floor up here. There's some stairs here. Sometimes because of size, people don't want to come. But this is the time that God's speaking to you. And if he's speaking to you, listen, it don't matter what you're dealing with here. He took the beating that he took at Calvary for us. And he went to that cross and he died for us. So don't complain about a couple minutes on the floor or on the steps. Or just come and stand here and say, Lord, would you forgive me? In whatever way God's speaking to you, respond to him today and come to him and give it over to him and let him help you in whatever your need is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the application of your word today, Lord, that Paul has challenged us is that we have to be changed. There are things that we should turn away from, that we should abstain from. And Lord, with that is for our betterment, not for our detriment. And Lord, I just pray now, Lord, as we come, Lord, as you're speaking to each one here, Lord, I pray that we would respond according to the leading of your spirit, Lord, as you have been revealing yourself to us, as you are speaking to us, challenging us in our daily walk, Lord, that today may be the day of death, spiritually committing to the lordship of Christ today. And Lord, from this point forward, lives will be changed and committed to you and walking with you in the lordship of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.